Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, I pray that you teach us tonight when our faith collides with our doubt. Lord, remind us that you are still God. And Lord, in the midst of a season that includes a mountaintop, may we praise you and rejoice in who you are and what you've done. And Lord, in a season where there's a valley, may we still rejoice and may we still praise you, for you're certainly worthy of that. And I pray tonight, Lord, that these words would serve each of us here tonight. And that you would use these words to pierce open our hearts, maybe to give questions where we thought we had answers, and to give answers where we know that we have questions. But more than anything, Lord, that we leave here today giving you all the glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, in John chapter 20, it's a powerful passage, and probably a lot of you are familiar with John 20, and it's the only gospel that kind of includes this account of Thomas. And what do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. And honestly, after tonight's message, I hope you'll realize Thomas has got a bad rap, being called Doubting Thomas. Because I don't know, maybe I know that there's probably a lot of adjectives to describe me, and you probably can think of some. Keep them to yourself. But, you know, doubting would be one of them, that I doubt. I just doubt. And I have these Thomas moments sometimes where I'm just like, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Anybody else there? Three of you. Wow. Anybody else? Come on now. Come on. There we go. Now, let's be honest. That is where we're at. That is where I'm at. And sometimes I'm just saying, hey, Lord, whatever. Anybody ever told the Lord whatever? Seems like the sinners are heavier on this side tonight. Last week, y'all are over here and you moved because you didn't think I'd see it. And then I'd be over here too. Man, that's where we are. That's where we are. Now listen to this. In John 20:24, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Now, can you imagine, could there be any more incredible words for somebody to tell you, "We have seen the Lord," especially in this moment of time? I mean, he'd been crucified, he had been buried, and even though he foretold of his own resurrection, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And Thomas, just like you and me, Thomas is kind of in this place, but he wasn't there when the others saw Jesus. And so when they saw Thomas, they said, "We have seen the Lord." Isn't that exciting? You don't seem excited. It's all right. I could do a standing backflip and say it. No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't do that. I would be hurt. Somebody else would have to preach. Now let's say it together. We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. Now those are incredible words. And they're incredibly encouraging, because here are these other disciples. I mean, Keith is always telling us, he's like, "I caught a fish," and I'm like, "Until I see it." He can't even defend himself. That's good. I was, "Until I see it, I'm not going to believe it." And this is where Thomas is at. And the other disciples say, Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." Listen what Thomas says. But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger," now listen, "put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now it's so easy for us to be really super critical of Thomas on this side of everything. It'd be easy for us to say, "Man, that Thomas, he just needs to have a little bit more faith. I mean, that Thomas," but we've all been there. Every one of us. Tonight, the thing that I've thought about the most, and this won't even be the main point, but the thing I've thought about the most is, what do we do in those moments of life where our faith collides with our doubts? What do we do? What do we do? And how do we handle those moments? I met with a person this week, and we were just talking. They don't go to church here, and they're just kind of at a place in life and desperate for an answer, to talk to somebody. And so that person came to me. I was obviously the only pastor available. Everybody else was busy, and so I'm like the last go-to guy, right? And so she comes to the office, And we began to talk. And she had a lot of things to say. She had a lot of questions. And I think the mistake I've made in most of my life is that when people have had a lot of questions, I have decided to have a lot of answers. Man, I used to be good at giving parenting advice when I was in college. And when I was single, I had a whole lot to say about marriage. And now, I don't have a lot to say about those things. I've told you here before, I said it this Sunday. I preached in Springboro, Ohio, and I told him, I said, now, when I was in college, I had a sermon called 10 Sure Ways to Raise Godly Children. And now that sermon's been revised after I've had 4 kids. Now the sermon's called 2 or 3 Things That May or May Not Work. Amen. And marriage, I wrote down everything I knew about marriage. And someday I'd like to share that sentence with you. But for the sake of time, we'll just move on. What do we do in those moments, though? And so I'm talking to this lady, and I just didn't have tons of answers for her. And I'll tell you why. Because she was probably like me, and I'm probably kind of like you. God has to reveal those answers to me. God has to do that. And God has to open up my heart so that I can understand what He's saying. God has to open up my ears so that I will hear Him. And God has to open up my eyes so that I can see clearly. And she was in a moment like that in her life. And it was hard because as she told her story, you can't help but to think about your story. And to think about that those moments in your life when your faith so horrifically collided with your doubts. And they are there. And they are there. There is faith. It is there. But there are doubts. And they are there. And tonight's sermon will not totally reconcile all of this. Maybe none of it. Maybe you'll leave with more questions than you had answers. But take this away, if nothing else. God will have to give you those answers. And you know what's tough about God? He generally does that in His own time. He gives us that understanding, one, I think when we're ready for it, when we can handle that truth. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the truth isn't always pretty. And God doesn't always work in a way that leaves every chapter of our life ending with a bow tied around it and something nice and something we're happy about and something that we'd like to repeat. It doesn't always work like that. I mean, it's great to hear those stories. How many of you enjoyed the video testimonies we've been watching? Man, those have been powerful. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I love this place. Because so many different kinds of people go here. And their stories are so different. And some of their stories I can't relate to at all. And then there's a lot of them. And it's my story. Just change the names and the characters. That's all. And the disciples told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord. He's back. He's come back. We've seen Him. How exciting. What do you think, Thomas?" And Thomas says, "You know what? Unless I see the holes in His hand and I put my finger in them." Now that seems graphic to me when you think about that. Like maybe somebody would just paint a smudge. Look, you know, but Thomas said, "I want to put my finger in that hole and I want to touch His side or I will not believe." So some time passes. Let me tell you something I love about the story. And this is like just totally something I'm going to throw in there because I think we need to hear it. But the next verse starts off, a week later, His disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Is that significant to anybody else? That is significant to me. Because Thomas doubted, I mean, maybe the most crucial part of our faith that Jesus had actually resurrected. Thomas doubted that. Have you ever disagreed with somebody? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they told you they disagreed with you or they didn't believe you? Well, a week later, were you eating with them? Most of us don't operate that way. Most of us are like, well, isn't that special? I mean, isn't that how most of us are? And let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that are like that. And we meet, your pastoral staff here, we meet with a lot of folks. And they're just coming to talk. They're not ready to start living the way God wants them to. Or maybe to stop doing some of the things they need to stop doing. And they're very clear about that. No, I'm not. Matter of fact, when I leave here, I'm going to whatever. And what you know what a lot of churches do? Come back when you clean yourself up. And it goes against the whole idea of the gospel that you can't clean yourself up. And I can't clean myself up. I can't do that. You can't do that. If we could do it, we didn't need a cross and a resurrection. Only Jesus can do that. And Thomas, disagreeing with the foundation of our theology and our faith, Thomas says, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until that happens. And the Bible says a week later, they're all eating and Thomas is with them. Because you know what? We should be a people of grace. And we should be a people of mercy. And we ought to be willing to walk down the road with people in the midst of their doubts. And in the midst of their sin. We ought to be, and you know why we ought to be willing to? Because somebody probably walked down the road with you and with me in those moments. I quickly think of, and I know this isn't everybody's story, but I quickly think of my mom and dad. And I think how glad I am that I was not my child. Does that make sense? Everybody, are you with me on that? How glad I am that I didn't have to raise me, because I might have given up on me. I might have got tired of me and just threw me out or something like that. But there was mom and dad, and they were there, and they walked down the road with me in the midst of those things. I think of friends that I have who've been willing to walk down the road with me in the midst of those times. Man, we ought to be willing to do that. So there's Thomas. He's with the disciples a week later. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, why do you think the Bible says that? It makes me think of some supernatural experience, doesn't it? I mean, the Bible's specific that the door was locked. I mean, why? What's the deal there? He came through the window? What does it make you think? It makes me think that, like, somehow he just kind of walked through the wall. The door was locked, the Bible says, and Jesus kind of walks in. It's a supernatural experience. I think the Bible says it, for one, for us to know this. This is the resurrected Christ. Because a lot of people have said Jesus really didn't die. He suffered from a coma for a while, but then he came out of it. And everybody said, ooh, he was dead, now he's alive. And that's what a lot of scholars say happened. That's what a lot of people believe. You may see the Monty Python movie. If you haven't, you probably shouldn't. But the scene, I don't even remember which movie it is. Brent, you may remember because you raised your hand so quick. But it's the scene where they're bringing that big wagon and they're throwing dead people on it. And that guy is carrying that other guy over his shoulder to put him on it. And the guy on his shoulder says, but I'm not dead yet. I'm not dead yet, okay? And so a lot of scholars say, so Jesus had some kind of experience. Like, but the Bible says the doors are locked, the doors closed, whatever. We get the idea that they're secluded. And Jesus appears to them. You know why? Because he did die. And he was resurrected bodily. And though he was spirit, he was flesh. He had been raised again. Are you with me? I just think I love reading this passage. There's so many little things like that in there, and that one was for free. You're welcome. All four of you, you're welcome. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, when Jesus says that, that was kind of a normal greeting. Peace be with you. But I think it was deeper and more intentional for Jesus to say that. Jesus said that several times when he came among a group of people. Peace be with you. And right in the middle is Thomas. Now, as I read this, you don't have to totally go with this on me, but to me, this appearing of Jesus specifically had at least one major purpose in mind, and that was Thomas. Because Thomas was there. Can I tell you why? Because if I just let our minds wander, we might think that Jesus is like, where's Thomas? Son, I'm gonna put his finger right in the hole. That's what I'm gonna do. Now where is he? You know, like Jesus has got something to prove. But I don't believe that's why Jesus came. I don't believe that's why Jesus wanted to appear to Thomas. I believe that he wanted to appear to Thomas because he loved him. Because Thomas had been with him. Thomas had seen Jesus do a lot of things. They spent a lot of time together. And I believe Jesus appeared. And he wanted Thomas to see him. And he wanted him to see the holes in his hands and in his side. Because he loved Thomas. And he didn't want to leave him lingering in that doubt. And it was time and Jesus showed himself. Now listen to what he says. Peace be with you. And then he says to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. The reason I said that I think Thomas gets a bad rap is because I started in verse 24. But listen, let me skip back to verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, Thomas isn't with them. I'm going back to that moment. With the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. After he said it, he showed him his hands and his side. I think Thomas gets a bad rap. Maybe they all needed to see it, but they just didn't have to ask. They just didn't have to voice it. Jesus came and he says, peace be with you. And the Bible says, and then he shows them his hands and his side because he wanted them to believe. So I think Thomas gets a bad rap. I mean, I can imagine some of the disciples, they were probably good Baptists, right? Some of them. Now, some would argue they were all Baptists, including Jesus. That was a joke. Some of you are writing down, Jesus was Baptist. I knew it. And you know, some of the disciples were thinking, what about Thomas? What a jerk. Can you believe Thomas? He doesn't believe. He's got to see the holes in the side. Can you believe that? When they all got to witness that. And Jesus showed them specifically. And typically, the way, you know, a Jewish man would walk around in that time, his side wasn't exposed. So I imagine, have you ever had somebody wanted to show you a scar and it got embarrassing? Well, I'm going to show you something. I had people do it in my office. So sir, I had certain, look, this scar I got from surgery. And I'm like, it's really not necessary. Oh, there it is. All right. Okay. It's nice. It's all right. Put your shirt back on. You know. And Jesus goes to great trouble, I think, to show them his hands, which, you know, that'd be easy, but also his side. Jesus does it. The disciples got to see that. They already witnessed that. And Thomas just wanted to see what they saw. So Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And immediately Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Because Thomas saw the proof that he wanted to see. Very interesting. Because if we skip back some more in verse 17, Jesus has just revealed himself to Mary. Bible says she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me. Some say that what it says is he's telling her not to touch him. So in this moment, when she's getting ready to reach out, Jesus says, don't touch me. Don't hold on to me. But with Thomas, he says just the opposite. Just the opposite. Now part of this is a crisis of faith. That's not where Mary was. Mary didn't want to touch him to get a feel of the holes in his hand. Why? Because Mary knew that it was him. And she had no doubts. And he didn't want her to waste time to touch him or hold on to him. He wanted her to go on and tell the others. But it's not where Thomas was. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that God just doesn't always do the same thing for every other person in their walk. But that he knows where you are. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows your doubts. How many of you have doubts? Some of you are doubting whether or not you should raise your hand. We have doubts. We have doubts. And for Mary, who believed and didn't need to touch, he said, hey, come on, go and just tell the others. But not for Thomas. It was different for Thomas. And it's because of where he was. Now, I love Timmy Young's video. The man on the video you saw, his name is Timmy Young. And man, I love Timmy Young. And if you ever get a chance to sit down and talk to Timmy Young about his life, it's amazing. It's extraordinary what God has done in Timmy's life. and the testimony that he has. And Timmy, I'm looking over here to see if he's here. There's his wife. Timmy's a men's ministry, isn't he? And it's amazing to hear that story. It's one of the first stories I heard at Hillview Heights Church. Pastor Steve and I went to go hunting with Timmy and Bugsy. So you imagine my first time here is like, Timmy and Bugsy want to go hunting. I'm like, oh, okay. Do you have a gun I can borrow? And something half dead that I can shoot, you know, that can't run off and I can get a good aim. And we go and it's raining. I forget what kind of hunting, some kind of bird hunting. Yeah, dove hunting. That was it. Those precious little doves, people kill them. But anyway, we're going to go dove hunting and it's raining. And so you can't go dove hunting when it rains. I don't know if because it makes the trigger slippery. I don't know, but we couldn't do it. And instead we sat down for about 2 hours and we listened to Timmy's story and we listened to Bugsy's story and it was incredible. And I'm thankful that Jesus said to Mary, go on and tell the others. But I'm even more thankful that he said to Thomas, touch my hands. Feel my side. Because I want you to know this, Thomas. It's me. It's me. Now, some of you are here tonight, and maybe you're not at that place in your story yet. And you're wondering where God is. You're wondering if he's there, if he's around, what's going on. Does he even know? Does he even care anymore? I'll never forget, every once in a while as a kind of a outreach project, we just hand out thousands of cards to people in our church. And a little card says, yes, this is a free gift to show you the love of Jesus in a practical way with no strings attached. And we got our little church website on there and all that. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, the first email we got of somebody, because here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go through a fast food restaurant, go through the drive-through, and tell the person at the window that you want to pay for the person behind you. And then you pay and say, will you give them this card? Now, the weekend we did that, I can't tell you how many times I went to McDonald's and it didn't hit once. I kept thinking I'll get there and they'll say, oh, somebody already paid for yours. Wow, it took you a long time to realize what I was trying to say. And I thought, I'm not saying this right. So anyway, nobody paid for mine. But I got an email from a lady. And I went, and this is just, you know, this isn't verbatim. This is just the gist of her email. And it basically said this, because I thought it was starting off as somebody that was mad at us. Her email started, I didn't need anybody to buy my lunch today. I own my own business. I'm successful. And I don't need anybody to buy my food for me. And I'm thinking, oh, great. And I was getting ready to hit delete. Because if I don't like what you say to me in your email, I delete it before I'm done anyway. And if you have problems with that, email me at reynolds@hillview.com. And I'll get on that. But then her email... I got to remember to get him a gift. That's his last week here at the church. But the next paragraph said, however, for the last month, I've been driving to the hospital because my mother's about to die. And in the same week my mother went to the hospital, my daughter was in a horrible car accident. And she's in a different hospital. And I've spent all week driving from hospital to hospital wondering if my mother would live and how my daughter would end up after she left the hospital. And she said, in all week, in between that drive, between those hospitals, I just really wondered if God was there. And I really started to doubt whether God even cared or if God even knew what was going on in my life. And she said, and I prayed and I said, God, if you're there, then just show me. And about that time, she pulls up to the window at McDonald's. And some little kid that's working there hands her a card and says, ma'am, your lunch is paid for and I'm supposed to give you this. Now you say whatever you want. But I think it was Jesus at the window saying, here I am. I'm here. I know what's going on. I know how you're feeling. I understand your doubts. I know what's going on. And she reads a little card right after she said, God, if you're there, show me. And it says, just to show you the love of God in a practical way with no strings attached. And she starts weeping. And she can't wait to get to her office to email us to ultimately say, thank you. And we're able to email her back and said, don't thank us because we didn't follow her. Right? We do follow some of you, but we didn't follow her. And we didn't know she was there. We didn't know what was going on in her life. But you know what? God did. And so these little dumb cards that we hand out about 2,000 of them, and then we sweep up 1,500 of them off the floor. You know the card you threw down. But one of those cards got through. And one of those cards got into the hand of a guy at McDonald's. And it's amazing to me, honestly, that all the years I've done that, I've only had one time that the restaurant refused to do it. And it blows me away because I would just think none of them would do it. You know? But she got her card. And it was God saying, I know where you are. And it was God reminding her, I love you. I am with you in this. You are not alone. I am there. And this is what is happening with Thomas. Jesus comes in. He doesn't have an attitude. Jesus isn't scolding Thomas. He just says, Thomas, put your finger in the hole of my hands and touch my side. And he says, and stop doubting and believe. And immediately Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know what? That's us. We didn't get to walk with Him these many centuries ago. We didn't get to do that. We didn't get to see the miracles that He performed in person, live. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get to see all that. But we believe. And we believe because of Him. And so this lady I'm meeting with this week that I met with, you know, she's just talking. She's like, I just can't wrap my arms around this. And she says, how do you wrap your arms around it? And I tell her, I can't. I can't wrap my arms around it. I mean, even as I preach, you know what's in the back of my mind while I'm preaching? I know, please give me a break. There is a lot, but... you know what's really in the back of my mind on a sermon like this? Are my own disappointments with God. What's on my mind are the questions that I've had that I still don't have answers for. And what's on my mind are the doubts that I have that I guess He's not going to take away. But I want to be like Thomas. That in the midst of those disappointments. And when I told that lady exactly what I just told you. And it just kind of blew her away. She said, you mean you've been disappointed with God? I said, yeah. I went on to explain I'm disappointed with God because I don't see things from God's perspective. And I'm wanting God to do some really fabulous thing in my life. And I mean a specific thing. I don't mean, oh God, just do something fabulous. And who uses the word fabulous anymore? But anyway, I want God to do something great. But I mean something specific. Like, God, I want you to move like this. And then when you do that, God, we'll do this. And then we'll come back and we'll do this. And I've got the plan if God would just listen. But God knows something about that plan and why it must not be good for me. Or it must not be good for me right now. God knows that. And so here's the thing. I'm being honest that man, I've got my disappointments, but you know what? I'm hanging on. And I'm trusting Him. And I don't know how He's moving. I don't know what He's up to. Sometimes I wonder if He's even around. But I have to come back to truth. I know that He's there. And I know that He cares. I know that. And so I'm going to keep hanging on. And I'm waiting for God. Because He's the only one I can wait on. Because He's the only one that's going to be able to step in and do what needs to be done. And let me just tell you, I'm not sure what that is. I know what I'd like it to be. I know what I'd like it to be. But I'm not sure that that's what God's going to do. I'm not sure if that's how God will reveal Himself. And so my doubt collides with my faith. Because I'll be honest with you, I believe God is going to come swooping in just like Superman and He's going to save the day. I believe that. My doubts say He probably won't do it the way you want Him to, and that's probably true. And then my doubts say maybe He's not coming. Maybe I've run out of my save the day opportunities. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like, I can't even pray to God on this one because I've screwed up so many times. He's probably not going to come this time. Let me see your hands. Come on. We need to see hands because I want you all to see that's where we are sometimes. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And so keep believing and keep hanging on. God is going to do something. He's going to reveal Himself in some way. It may not be the way you want. It may not be the way that you think. But He is there and He cares. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written. What we just read. These are written. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. So all the miracles you read about, all the incredible things Jesus did, the Bible said these are written. They're not all written, but these have been written so that you may know, so that you might believe that Jesus really is the Christ, the only hope for you and for me. I want to encourage you. We're going to have a time of altar. And some of you, you're just at that place. You're just at that collision of your faith and your doubts. Can I just tell you something? It's okay. It's okay to be in that place. God wired you. He's made you the way that you are. It is okay to be in that place. But Jesus would say, stop doubting and believe. And that is a good word for us. So some of you, you're right there. Where your faith is colliding with your doubts. I want to invite you just to come to the altar tonight. Not because if you come to the altar, all your doubts will be taken away and erased. Usually doesn't work that way. Sometimes it does, but it usually doesn't work that way. But it's stepping out and saying, okay, God, just like that woman, going from hospital to hospital. God, I'm tired of this. I want you to heal her and heal her. I need you to come in now. I'm tired. I can't do it another day unless you show yourself to me. And He got her a Happy Meal. And it's okay to be at that place. I think if you're at a place that makes you cry out to God, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. And I'd invite you to come to the altar and just begin to pray and say, God, I'm there. That's where I'm at. And some of you have come tonight, not by accident, for whatever reason you come, to hear the last verse. These have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the only hope that we have. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never invited Him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin, you've got to do that. I'm going to tell you, and then we'll have our altar. I'm driving home, and my four-year-old daughter's in the seat behind me. We're on our way home, and she goes, Daddy, will you show me how to have Jesus in my life? And I told her, I said, I'll show you that. And I told her, I said, you just pray and ask Jesus, and I ask her all the questions. You believe Jesus is the Son of God? You believe He died? I'm going to ask her all that. And she believes all that, and it's all she's known all her life. And she said, will you show me that? And I said, when we get home, I'll show you that. I said, you just ask Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sin. And He'll do that. And we get about a mile down the road, and she goes, Daddy, I can't wait. And she says, Dear Jesus. And she begins to pray. All that I had that kind of faith. I can't wait to get to the place I think I've got to be at. I've got to do it now. I'd invite you to come. God's stock's coming up, and there's a lot of you here, and you've not been biblically baptized. Man, quit putting that off. There's one requirement to be baptized, and that is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And biblical baptism is baptism after Jesus has come into your life and forgiven you of your sin. And there's probably a lot of us here tonight, and that needs to happen in our lives. I invite you to come. So let's stand together. Father, we love You. And I thank You that even in the moments where our doubts collide with our faith, Lord, You are there and You show Yourself to us. I thank You for that. And God, I pray You move here tonight. And I pray that we would see You for who You are. Open our ears so we can hear. Open our eyes so we can see. And open our hearts so that we can know. We love You, Lord. This altar is open. You come.